The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Have you ever got that deer in the headlights look from the salesperson at your local auto parts store? This, unfortunately, is common these days, but don't stress. There is an easy solution. Try shopping at Westside Auto Supply. Steve, Kevin, and Jackie have over 130 years of combined experience in the auto parts industry. They will only sell you the top quality parts for your hot rod or daily driver. Their prices are competitive with the box stores, so head to Westside Auto Supply at 56 Prado in Slo. Buy the best from the best. Westside Auto Supply.
Whether you're driving one of these.
One of these.
One of these. Or someday, even one of these. Whatever you're driving, Motor Mouths has answers for all of your automotive questions. And now your host, Jason from Absolute Auto Tech.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing this gorgeous? Yeah, gorgeous. I like gorgeous. Yeah. Rainy? Well, not really rainy yet anymore, but Saturday morning. It's Saturday morning. It's time for the Motor Mouth Show. So if you have the time, the place, the space, the parts, the inclination, and the information, give me a call. We'll talk about your car problems, car questions, car concerns, all those things that make you go, And this morning is an extra special morning beyond the cool little rain we had last night and the beautiful green lush landscape and beautiful Central Coast. We have Mr. Matt this morning joining us in the studio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Are you suggesting I came up with the grass?
I think so.
Well, we had a little bit of rain last night.
Yeah,
probably
it was nice.
Quarter inch at least where I live. It's kind of nice to come into the station here again. First time I've been back here for about,
it's been about 14 years.
He's been probably a year or two since he was in last.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since you were a guest.
Yeah.
And it's been like four years since you hosted.
You come in the bottom, the front door. And what greets you is a Coke machine that rattles every time it starts up.
Every morning.
Soda machine knows you have walked in the building.
So then we have the same engineer as we've had before. It's kind of nice.
Well, thank you.
Jim's been here a long, long time. He's held my hand nicely during the trade-off and the pass-off. Yes, he's held my hand and helped me.
We need that. Absolutely.
I definitely need help, because otherwise I will make a bigger fool of myself than I already do.
Yep.
So I want to say really quick, the intro, I love the intro. Right now I'm dealing with the... I can't say deer in the headlights. So I've had the deer in the headlights, which sucks. My dad loves teasing cashiers and changing the amount he's handing them in cash when they when they're working the cash register, so that they have to give different change, and then watch the deer in the headlights look when they have to make change in their head because the cash register's not doing it for them. What I'm having a problem with right now is I've got two different companies that have to interact. Well, one's the state of California and one's a company, and they have to interact on my computer in order to do emissions testing. And the state of California says it's the emissions tester company. It's their software, and that's the problem. The emissions tester company saying it's the state of California's fault, and I need to deal with the state of California. I've dealt with both of them. I've reloaded their, deleted and reloaded their programs on my machine. I have talked to my computer tech, and everyone says it's the other guy's fault. And I went, okay, if it's the other guy's fault, you get on the phone, you tell them it's their fault, and explain to them how it's their fault. Well, they don't want to do that. It's up to me. And I told them, hey, if it's my fault, I'm good with my fault. Just tell me what I need to do to make it go forward. Nope, it's the other guy's fault. We can't do anything to help you. You need to fix it with the other guy. And both of them say the exact same tune. And I'm like, you know what? This is what you call customer service. I don't know what to tell you. Go take it somewhere else. I can't take it somewhere else. It's the state of California. Well, I guess I can. I legally can take it somewhere else. All of us, let's just move to another state and we'll fix it. Except we're not going to fix it. It's just going to be the same problem in another state. But Well, I'm dumbfounded. It drives me absolutely insane when companies do not take responsibility for their product. And the employees don't take responsibility for the company's products. And I want to cry. I don't know what else to do. All I can do is cry. So anyway, I just had to say that Westside takes responsibility for their product. Mm-hmm. Steve is, we need to figure out what's wrong. Let's get it going. And I love that. And that's why we keep using them, because it's they support our ability to repair automobiles for our customers.
Yeah, you know, and this thing happens in many industries, and people do not take responsibility for what they actually should take responsibility for. I just changed bank the other day, and the first thing I come up with is that I returned two of my checks because I was overdrawn, and I put $40,000 in. in a checking account. Well, Monday morning I shall go down and talk with them.
We had the same problem. We sat down and we had to change things. So we sat down and said, these are the checks you can clear and these are the checks you can't.
Yeah.
And then they bounced them, and then they bounced the ones we said you could clear, that were good checks. Let's go ahead and take care of this stuff so that, you know, we can transfer. And then they bounced them. And we went in and said, what are we going to do here? And they go, well, you got to pay all these fees from them being bounced. I'm like, but you bounced them. You stopped payment when we told you not to. How's it our responsibility?
That's right. I mean, you ruined my credit.
So we got the first text off the Stolberg text line. It is so good to hear Matt's voice again. I was an avid listener for years when Matt was on the air.
Isn't
so
it?
Well, okay, people
talk,
like having you
I'll
back,
talk
Matt.
Some more.
I like it. I like it. You talk some more.
Yeah, well, now I live in Perfumo Canyon, and so I come in to work or going downtown, I've got to go in to...
turning onto Los Sosos Valley Road.
Los Sosos Valley Road, right. Yeah. Okay, uh-huh. Fine. And what I find is the people coming in from Los Sosos going to work, some of them have their headlights on, and some of them don't have their headlights on. Mm-hmm. And if it's raining... some of them doesn't have their headlights on.
Right.
And so, you know, you're trying to pull out into traffic. There's not a traffic light right there. You can't see them before they're right up on you.
Right, agreed.
And, you know, the thing is that there's a law. We used to talk about this all the time. There's a new law, and that is the windshield wipers on, headlights are going to be on.
Yeah, we called it WOHO.
Yeah, WOHO, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. WOHO, you know. So like, it went to like the hi-ho from Snow White, WOHO, WOHO, you know.
And what I find out, what I see, only this morning, for example, it was still a little bit dark. Mm-hmm. And pickup trucks, especially commercial pickup trucks, don't have headlights on. There wasn't raining, but still, when it's still a little dusk out there, they look like they are driving like that with a purpose, and that is to be hit, so they have some time off, or they maybe get a new car. I mean, people don't think about it. I mean, they don't think about the other guy that is going to be on the road with them.
Well, that's part of avoiding the accident is not creating it. And you're trying to create it when you don't have headlights on. And you were saying the other day, we were talking, and you talked about the different kinds of headlights that are out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. But, I mean, the thing is that, of course, you only go out and run on the low headlights in town, so...
But there's the old school yellow that barely glow, like from the 70s, which kind of worked.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the newer, more bluish, which are nice. And then you have those new European style where they have the laser cut edge. And so they're really bright. Yeah. And then you follow that behind a dark a car that blends to the background with no lights. Yeah. And that car doesn't exist in my mind.
Yeah, right.
And as I get older, I can't see as well.
Yeah.
So just because you see me because I've got my headlights on doesn't mean I can see you.
That's right.
And if I can't see you, you're just as dead.
This is bringing up something I had happen earlier in the week. I was following, it was either, I think it was a box truck. It was kind of like one of the larger moving van kind of U-Haul box trucks. Every single light on the box was out, and one tail light was working.
Mm-hmm. One. I call that a fail. I go, okay, you failed the test.
So how, I mean, anybody that drives a box truck normally, maybe if you're out there listening, I mean, how do you check that? I mean, is there an indicator on the box that the lights are not working?
Nope. The only way you know is when the turn signals flash fast. That's it. Yeah. Otherwise, they are... Most companies require the employees to walk around the vehicle X amount of days to verify. I was coming back from the valley the other night, and I got behind this stealth car. And what had happened is this person had a pickup, and then they put a trailer behind it, and then the lights on the trailer didn't work, and it was night. And so the only thing I saw was reflectors on the car that they had in the back of the trailer. So we had... And it was oncoming traffic, so my eyes are adjusting for the oncoming traffic, and then every so often, it would be a turn or a jiggle or a change in the steering, and I could see a taillight from the truck, because the trailer was blocking most of it. And I'm like, no, you're not, you're creating a bad situation here.
Yeah, well, you know, but the thing is that maybe I have a bad feeling about pickup trucks, because I've seen this too darn much, that they're lazy. Mm. They don't turn the windshield wipers off or turn them on or turn the headlights on. And, you know, as I said, it probably has to do with the people. If they are working for somebody and it's somebody's trucks, you don't care. You just give them the truck, and then it's up to your responsibility to take care of it, and they don't care to take care of it.
You don't have
any problems now. For example, PG&E, you never problems. AT&T, no problems. All these trucks are, then they have a regiment for the people that drive the truck.
Yes,
but it is all the other trucks, and of course,
smaller companies that don't have, that haven't learned that the vehicle, that nothing is less expensive than keeping the vehicle you have in good shape on the road.
I'll give you.
And they haven't learned that. And once they do, and you know, maybe it's a call out. This is a call out for all you or smaller companies, whether it's 1 to 1,000 trucks. Maybe as you purchase them, you add on daytime running light relay onto them, so that the headlights are on, the taillights are on whenever the vehicle's running. At worst case scenario, it makes it a little safer. Best case scenario, you may have a truck on the road for more miles with less damage.
Yep.
805-543-8830 if you'd like to call and talk to Mr. Matt this morning. And
well, that's nice. They can call. I will take the call.
Yeah, I see. I like that.
Yes.
So we just want to make sure that, you know, it really is a safety thing for you and others. The other day, I was hit by the sunlight and wasn't patient enough, and I went up to a stop sign, and looked and didn't notice a pedestrian.
Yeah.
They noticed me, thankfully, and they stopped. And when they stopped, I noticed them. But had they not been paying attention, I might have hit a pedestrian. Well, you know, I'm not out trying to hit people, but if you're not looking where you're going, it takes two.
That's another thing, too, is like, you know, you got to remember that the sun is going down later, and so
everything's
the visibility is different, you know, as you're a pedestrian in a car and stuff. It is different.
You have a lot of people walking in Perfumo Canyon, mm-hmm. and there is the sun, and then there's shade.
The trees, yeah.
And sometimes I stop the people and say, please have some light clothes on. Then mm-hmm. I have light, they have dark clothes on, and you don't see them.
Yeah, they just blend right in.
They blend right in with it. So, you know, it's...
How is that possible? You think about that 150-pound tiger or leopard or whatever in the wild, and they just blend in, and their prey can't see them. Well, we can do that too.
Yeah,
and not even on purpose. When you dress in dark clothes like I am, you run around at night in the wintertime, nobody sees you. And I know I'm invisible because I'm wearing dark clothes. So I always make sure that I am nowhere near somewhere a car could hit me because they can't see me.
Yeah, but they might hear you.
They might hear you.
They might. I've often joked, Matt, that Jason could do the radio show without the microphone.
you have enough signal here to do that.
Yeah, he can broadcast it up. But I was going
to
say,
the tower. It just takes me too long to walk up the tower.
My box truck incident the other day, I thought it was kind of behind a bicycle. Really? Because it was one of those just little lights that was working. One on this whole
box. Not
even
a tail light, just a running light. Wow.
It was just,
Well, it's like,
I did not see the
lights at all.
It was about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, so it was dark. And I just did not see, and I get up close to the thing. It's a box truck. Oh, great.
Yeah, and the justification is a great big box truck. What do you? How can you not see it? And I don't know because it's dark and it's a dark truck.
It was a dark truck. I used the term U-Haul earlier. It wasn't a U-Haul.
Right.
I was just saying, you know, so people know kind of what it's like. And it was a dark truck. It wasn't the bright colors like they normally have. It was a dark one. So it blended in with the darkness.
Mm-hmm. And it matched the color scheme of the company, which didn't. Which matched the color scheme of the evening, but unfortunately did not make it well lit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have enough dark company conversation.
Okay, fair enough.
We have to get a little lighter. So the lighter part of it is that, you know, some of these crosswalks have yellow stripes on them. For example, down on Madonna Road and Los Osos Valley Road, there they have yellow lines.
Okay.
And a lot of pedestrians going across. And people don't seem to know why there are yellow lines. And they treat it like if they had white lines. But yellow lines, for those people, if you wonder about it and you don't know about it, you cannot drive into the walk, into the crosswalk, if there is a person in the crosswalk.
I thought that was for all lines, especially for that, but of yellow, that's what that means.
No, there's no white one. Like a big crossing, you can do that.
Well, and then normally the yellow lines are in a school zone, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Matt would have more of them out by where he lives because he's out by Laguna Middle School.
Right.
To school zone last night, 3 o'clock, school coming out, right? And people are picking up. The children and so forth. So there's a lot of traffic. And then it is the time on a Friday at that time that people going home to Los Osos.
Right.
And they don't like the 25 miles bold speed zone. I was in the left-hand lane, three lanes right there. And I went down to about 28, 29, 30 in my lane. And they passed me 30 miles an hour faster on the right-hand side. And I haven't seen a policeman out there. Well, I don't think I've seen it this year.
I did have some vindication earlier this week because I was driving, and this is kind of that incident, Matt, sort of. I was driving on the freeway southbound from Paso Robles in my Magnum, been up there doing some stuff in Paso, and I came back and I was doing 65, 70 or something like that. And I had believe it or not, a Prius come up behind me and try to push me out of the way, you know. And I did get over, I was passing another vehicle, I did get over, and then they passed me. But I got into a Tascadero. Guess what?
Pulled over.
Well, you know, red and blue lights behind the same Prius. Ooh. I honked and waved as I drove by.
but I think that Highway Patrol is doing a good job that way.
back into
no,
the
mic. No, I can't lean back.
Yeah, you can't lean back. You don't have the same kind of umph in your voice that Jason does. Okay.
No.
Yeah, I have to. You know, I have to boost the mic way up. Yeah. I'd have to shove it clear up across the room.
Yeah, I very seldom raise my voice.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But anyway, but that is, I think, the police need to take and go into the school zones. Either maybe they are patrolling other cool school zones that are more dangerous than the one in Las Osas Valley. But, you know, a motorcyclist up there once in a while and letting the people know that they are there, and they wouldn't drive quite that fast, I think.
Well, for me, I look at it this other way. I sit down and look and say, look, you know what? I'm in a hurry. I want to get things done. I want to get beyond. I'm tired of driving, whatever it is. But when you come across a school zone, when it's time for the kids to get in and out,
yeah,
okay, if something happened, if you were to hit one of those kids,
okay, oh,
you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Whether you break a hangnail on their finger or there's nothing left, you have to live with that for the rest of your life. And is that extra 30 seconds of savings worth the rest of your life, the pain for the rest of your life? And I talked to people, I've said this before, there was a gentleman that killed his child out at the dunes one time. And he was, I guess he had had some alcohol, and they were having a weekend. It was just fun. But his kid died at his hands because he was driving the vehicle. And they were talking about what they were going to do to him. And I went, and I kind of giggled, and I went, you can't do anything to that man. What do you mean? That man will punish himself for the rest of his life. There's nothing you can do to you. You put him in a chair and pull out his fingernails, and it won't hurt as much as he hurts already.
Yeah.
So think about that when you're doing that. I know school buses, I get frustrated sometimes with school buses, and I just stop, shut up, Jason, sit here and wait. It is not that big a deal to hurt a child. No way, forget it, it'll wait.
Yeah,
no, I'm late, too bad. You know what, you don't like it? That sucks.
Yeah.
So we have Tom from Pismo Beach. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Are you currently doing smog inspections, and what are parking lights for?
Parking lights. Oh, what are parking lights for? I like that.
Well, there's parking lights for?
Yeah, what are parking lights? And we are going to next week, not yet, but probably by Wednesday of next week, I should have everything back together again.
You're going to have all
right,
so, together?
So after Wednesday, you'll be doing the inspections.
After Wednesday, I should be doing smogs again.
One.
Okay, perfect. So what are parking
lights? And what are parking lights?
What are parking lights for, Pear?
Parking.
Matt.
Parking on the side of the road.
No. For parking on the side of the road?
Yeah.
So your car can be seen when it's not in motion?
Yeah. Well, the blinkers has to be on.
So why do we have a separate switch for parking lights or the running lights?
I think there's something left over from many years ago.
Very well could be. And Europe has a different idea of that kind of stuff too. And some European cars have different lights, fog lights, and they have different ideas. They have lights for when you park your car on the sidewalk, partially in the road. There's a clearance light you can leave on to help make it safer, because the roads are so narrow in some European cities.
Those narrow cities there are very close.
On my Honda, I have
I can't hear him.
The headlight areas that are on all the time, but they're not really headlights. Now, do those count for lights on with the wipers?
Yeah.
So the daytime running lights, they should count.
Hell yes.
Right.
Yes.
Basically, it's to help your car being seen.
So that counts for the rain wiper situation.
It should. Now, the thing that my only question is, so some cars' daytime running lights are just the two front headlights. Some cars run taillights also. If you're not running your taillights with those daytime running lights, then no, you're going to need to run taillights also. So you need to run your headlights at that point.
Makes sense. Thank you. Love the show.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the input. We try. And it's an honor to have this man on the radio with us today.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Well, it's an honor to be here. So are we going to talk about Westside?
And thanks for calling in, Tom.
Well, we'll have the break coming up here in just a second. Yeah,
Westside will be back on.
We got the break coming up here in just a little bit.
I love to go in there and talk to those guys.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're a wealth of knowledge.
Oh yeah.
And they do know their stuff. And but we talked about in the past. That's part of being a career person. When you're bounced from job to job every other year or every year, you don't really get a good feel for where anything is.
Yeah.
In the business you're working at. I mean, even if you're a genius, there's only so much you can pick up from the business you're in, even as a complete genius. And as a career person, you have made all those mistakes for your career to know how to not do it, how to not make those again. And it's taken me a long time to navigate our portion of parts, and still I go, I just called Steve yesterday because the computer didn't show it. And I'm like, I wonder if he has that. He should have that. And sure enough, he did.
Yeah.
And then the computer was wrong about another part, and it was great. I love calling in, and you know when I don't have to, it's a stupid air filter for a common car for Tom's Honda. Oh well, it's an air filter. I can order that. No big deal. Now, if we're talking about caliper hold down bolts, okay. Well, which bolts are which? Because it just says hold down bracket bolt. Well, the bracket goes to the spindle and goes to the caliper. So which bolt do I want? So here we are. Steve, which one do they mean? What's that?
Somebody just texted in. Maybe Matt, Jeff, or Jim, Matt and Jeff.
I know.
I'm just going right back to it. Matt and Jason, all right, on the Stolberg text line. So when I learned to drive, they taught us to hold our hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2. I understand now they want you to hold your hands at 4 and 8. On the steering wheel due to the safety, due to the airbags that may deploy. Have you heard that? I haven't heard that.
My children said something about 9 and 3, but I honestly heard it changed, but I'm like, really? But anything's possible. The only thing I could say about an airbag is I've caught myself with my hand across the top of the airbag going under the steering wheel, across the steering wheel. So I'm holding my hand on the wrong side of the steering wheel sometimes, mm-hmm. when I'll get late at night and driving along. Yeah. And that's when I go, that's not a good option, Jason. That airbag deploys, it's going to break, shatter my hand.
It is.
Yeah. And it's going to put it right in, all those shattered pieces right into my face. So then I go, okay, Jason, move your hand back over. And I put my hand on each side of the airbag.
I've had incidents where airbags have gone off.
Oh.
Because I've had a couple of accidents, not my fault, where the airbags came into play. And I don't know that it really completely matters where your arms are sometimes, because it depends on how the airbag goes off. I mean, there was one car that I had that was totally demolished, and the passenger side airbag actually helped save me. Right. And I was driving the car.
Hmm.
So
I can see that.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe the 10 and 2.
Well, okay.
I don't know. I don't know that it really is going to make a huge difference.
If you got glasses on.
Yeah.
It is hard on the eyes. I mean, the glasses, the airbag will hit your face, and they'll knock the glasses right up underneath the skin.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I have my hands on top of the steering wheel. And, today's car, we used to have to make a sharp turn on the car 20 years ago. And there was about 5 revolutions on the steering wheel.
Right.
Today, you got to go around a sharp corner, mm-hmm. and it goes halfway.
Yeah.
And you go around the corner. So, the motion on the steering wheel is so much less.
Mm-hmm.
And so that... The thing is that what we talked about this before, and I drive so that if I get into the collision, I think it is a split second where you're going to hit or somebody's going to hit you, and that the bag might come on. Put your hand in front of your eyes. Sit back in a seat. Go bring your face as far away from the steering wheel as possible. Put your hands across The front of the eyes.
I've had that situation, and I can't say the word, but it's the you know what moment. And I know that that's true because I've been in a couple accidents, and you are like, oh, this isn't going to end well.
So, talking about airbags, and we've talked about this in the past, but real quick. So, if you have a new driver coming up, in my opinion, the two groups that are the most likely to have issue on the road, not that that's most likely, are young, inexperienced drivers, and then the older drivers because they're not driving as much, and because, you know, hey, our eyesight starts getting worse, and our reaction times and everything else, and we're not on the road as much, so we don't practice as much. So, in my opinion, our safest cars, our newest cars, need to go to our young drivers and our older drivers to help protect them in the case of an accident. And I tell people, you know, we bought that little car for the kids to run around in because I knew something was going to happen. They were going to take off a mirror, they were going to back into my truck, or it was going to be totaled. Something in between. Something had to happen. They're new drivers. They're not very experienced. Life happens. So when you are thinking about your newest driver starting to drive, make sure that you get them into the safest car that you can afford and work from there. And it doesn't have to be a brand new Lincoln. It can be, you know, an older car. It can be a less expensive car, but make sure it's as safe a car as you can put them in. So to help protect them for the future, okay?
We'll let Matt answer his phone.
And we'll take a break.
All right, so anyway, we got a classic commercial coming up right now for the National Safety Council.
Buckle up for safety, always buckle up. Put your mind at ease, count your riders, please. Get your seatbelts buckled, everybody buckle up.
The National Safety Council says if you don't have seatbelts, get them. If you do have seatbelts, use them.
Have you ever got that deer in the headlights look from the salesperson at your local auto parts store? This, unfortunately, is common these days, but don't stress. There is an easy solution. Try shopping at Westside Auto Supply. Steve, Kevin, and Jackie have over 130 years of combined experience in the auto parts industry. They will only sell you the top quality parts for your hot rod or daily driver. Their prices are competitive with the box stores, so head to Westside Auto Supply at 56 Prado and Slow. Buy the best from the best. Westside Auto Supply.
Absolute Auto Tech in San Luis Obispo wants to extend thanks to all of their loyal customers over the years. Drive safe on the roads and take the time to maintain your automobiles. You can count on Absolute Auto Tech for high quality repairs for your safety and safe driving needs. Absolute Auto Tech has been performing auto repair services since 1997 at the corner of Sacramento Drive and Capitolio Way in San Luis Obispo. Come by or call 547-1062. That's 547-1062.
Are wet too.
Well, that depends on the tires you have.
Oh, yes, it does. I see these poor people stuck in these garbage, no-name China knockoff tires, and I just cringe. Right. I'm like, I want you in front of me. Just FYI, you stay in front of me. Because when you get out of control, I'll be able to stop because I've got good tires.
You know, if you at one time have been driving, and you become airborne, I almost said. You have no feeling on the steering wheel at all. Then you learn to kind of make sure that you feel the road all the time.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with you. We are. That's why we love Michelin so much, because they really do a good job. Oh, yeah. In 98% of situations, they are, as far as I'm concerned, the best option.
So we're having another text from Cheryl saying, great hearing Matt this morning. Apparently you've been missed on the show, Matt.
From Cheryl.
Huh?
Cheryl. A listener.
Yeah.
Cheryl, a listener, was very nice to hear. She likes to hear your voice.
Well, fine. Right.
She likes hearing your voice.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Michelin's, you agree with me, probably the best tire out there.
Oh, yeah. I haven't bought anything else than Michelin the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah. They really do a phenomenal job.
Yeah. They in some cases, you know, these new tires on the car, if you buy a new car, and if that is an electric car or if it has a plug-in or anything like that, they will have a rolling resistance on the tire is diminished.
Right.
And so those tires is going to wear out faster.
Right.
And so then you're going to go out and get a new set of tires, and you are used to getting a very good mileage, and you buy some other kind of tires than a rolling resisting tire.
Right, you get a great deal on a set of tires.
Then your gas mileage is going up.
It's going to suffer.
But I want to talk a little bit about gas mileage. I have been using a plug-in electric car for the last 15 years, I think. Yeah, at least 12, 15 years. And I used to teach at Allen Hancock. And so I drove to Santa Maria twice a week. And I could drive till I get down to the flat before Santa Maria. And then the engine would kick in. So in the coming back, I would go get to Pismo Beach before the engine would kick in. And I had a charger at the school, and I would charge it up there. And the thing is that, you know, if you live in Los Osos and you had one of those cars, you wouldn't use any gas going to work.
Back and forth, right.
You would not use. I buy gas every three or four months.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't drive too much anymore. But, you know, I can't think of anything that's been saving me more money than a plug-in electric car.
See, that's funny.
I like the plug-in.
That's funny because I have heard that a lot of people nowadays are not plugging their cars in because the price of electricity. And then, I don't know if any of the listeners have found this, but my wife was looking at our electric bill because she was concerned because it was so high. And she started looking at the meter and the bill. And if you look at our meter, the number of kilowatt hours we've used since installing it, and then you look at the PG&E bill, there's a $2,600 deficit in our favor. They've charged us $2,600 more than the meter says we've used of electricity. And so she called and said, why? And they go, well, it's real-time update and blah, 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 this and that and the other. This is the second time I've had someone call and talk to the billing department at PG&E and come away more frustrated than when they called because the people there didn't know how to explain their bill. But it's kind of interesting that my meter on the side of my house is off by $2,600 difference from what they're billing me for. I want my $2,600 back. So I worry that we are making PG&E the one and only place to go for electricity. And I'm wondering who's controlling the costs. Because when you're a cost-plus company, that just means we increase costs because we're cost-plus, so we can fix that.
Yeah, well.
It bothers me.
Yeah.
And it's nice. I like the plug-in over the electric, because I can choose. Do I want to plug in or don't I?
Yeah.
And if I don't want to, I don't.
No.
When the price of fuel goes to $8 a gallon, I plug in.
Yeah.
When the price of electricity is 50 cents a kilowatt and gas is $4 a gallon,
yeah,
I don't plug in.
No, the thing is that I have on my charger, it's hooked up to the garage. And the garage is on a separate meter.
You have a separate meter, right.
So I probably pay about $15 to $20 a month in electricity.
Right. And we and that's able for all of us, but I'm back to if it really costs 50 cents a kilowatt for PG&E to deliver electricity to us, if that's really what it costs, then why are we selling it at 14 cents a kilowatt? Why are we selling it at 22 cents a kilowatt? And why can't I get it at 22 cents a kilowatt? Mm-hmm. Why isn't it even for all of us? Why isn't it cost the same for all of us? And that's another one of those things. So I know electric cars are fine. They're fun. They have some really cool things out there. But my problem is that they don't pay any road tax. Well, our roads are horrible. And it seems to me the person in charge keeps stealing money from our roads, our road dollars. Where are we going to get the money to fix the roads if we're not charging people that use them to use them?
No, but you know that the road tax, you know, the electric plug-in cars, why you should pay that? I mean, they float over the road. They don't...
they can weigh twice as much as their gas-powered...
They're not touching the pavement that much.
Yeah, they can weigh twice as much as their
and they're very light
countertop.
Cars.
Yeah, exactly. And some of them have an incredible amount of torque. So they can actually tear the pavement up faster from a stop. And then because they're so heavy, they can tear the pavement up faster from a stop and then to a stop. So accelerating and decelerating, they can do more road damage. And they weigh more. So I'm back to, you know, I understand the idea. It was trying to push the technology, okay? I understand the incentives, but I also understand that our roads are worse than they've ever been. Well, other than horse and buggy times.
They're not as environmentally friendly as you'd like to let on.
Well, okay.
No, they're not.
We can use that language.
Yeah.
I have a problem with it. I mean, I'm sorry. Why aren't we all paying our fair share?
Well, you know, talk about the road a little bit. At Los Osos Valley Road, you come to the stop sign down at Madonna Road, and there always a lot of potholes right
there. Yes, sir.
And I was wondering, why in heck would we have potholes there? Then I got an idea. The big trucks comes off the freeway, and their tires, if they are loaded, like for example, if it's a tanker truck, the tires are hot. Then they stop.
Ooh.
They melt. The blacktop.
And they're heavy.
Yeah.
And they're heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, if the city knows about this, why don't they put in a belt with concrete right there?
Oh, in those spots.
That would be great.
That would be a good idea.
Come off the freeway and stop, and they sit there with these hot tires, and they are hot.
Oh, yeah, they can get very hot.
Yeah.
And the roads can be very hot. I mean, not so much here, but in the valley, I know growing up in the valley, when they were moving soil or moving heavy stuff down certain roads in the summer, the road would actually become wavy from the weight of the truck, and the asphalt would move. And asphalt is... in that case, becomes a liquid again.
Just like
glass. You know, you think of glass as this hard, you know, substance, but it's a liquid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
So, well, actually, we have the same problem out here on Sacramento. Our street out here, right out in front of your business, your business and our studios here, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, part of it is because, well, we're in an industrial area.
And there's trucks going up and down constantly.
We've got UPS. We've got Goodwill with their, you know, major distribution place here. We've got producers down the street with their heavy dairy trucks. And I'm not blaming them, but our street gets beat up.
Zoomed over here is semi-trucks rolling in every day, all day. There's the meatpacking place there. Mm-hmm. There's trucks in and out of here. But that's what it is. It's an industrial area. You're expecting that. But that also takes its toll on our roads. And as much as I don't want to see it torn up, that's the only thing you can do with Sacramento is just tear it up and start anew.
Yeah.
Because the substrate below is no good.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I would imagine there's going to be one, more than one person complaining if they go, okay, boys, let's fix it, start tearing it up. Where are we going to get our? How are we going to move around? How am I going to fix a car if there's no way to get a car into my shop?
Especially UPS across the street. Well, yeah, they're not going to like it.
How is the county going to get their boxes if UPS can't get in and out? So I can see it being a real tough situation.
Well, you know, they work in some areas, they work at night.
Yeah, and that's what they might have to do.
The problem I've heard with working at night, and one of my buddies told me this, is when you work at night, you add basically like 30 or 40% more to the bill.
Yeah.
Because it's harder to see, and the guy's overtime, and all this. Nobody wants to work nights, and all this other stuff. So you start adding all that in. Now you go, wait a second. Oh, it just have them work at night. No big deal. And then you go, well, but my $8 million project became, you know, 11.
Yeah.
Where are we going to get the extra funds? So I hear you, and I agree with you. I really believe that at some point, this country and our state needs to quit robbing from Peter to pay Paul and deal with this infrastructure issue that we're having. We're having a major infrastructure issue.
So, yeah, you know, the America looks very, very difficult, different. Then after we had our all the roads built and so forth,
in the 40s or 50s or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah.
50s,
tremendously different. So, anyway, that are all the things that are being occupied. We don't have the transportation that people in Europe have. We don't have the buses.
But we're really sprawled out. Europe is compared to the United States.
Yeah, still, but they have, you can get any place. In Europe, you can travel any place on a train or a bus.
It's also a mindset.
Faster than driving.
It's also a mindset. We like our cars.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And that's a big change.
Oh, yeah.
I have to get up and think about where do I go to get the bus, to take the transfer, to go to the other. That's a big change of mindset as an American.
Well, they also have to make it to where people, it's enticing to people, too, because I've heard like the high-speed train that they want to put between.
Nowhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the one that goes from, basically nowhere to nowhere. Not necessarily, it goes out to Las Vegas from L.A. County.
They're going to put one in there over there?
$400 round-trip ticket.
Oh,
I could pay for a lot of gas going to Las Vegas from L.A.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, see, that's private, though. Private company has got to do that.
And they must see a need. They must see a reason.
Absolutely.
And it probably funded majorly in part by Los Angeles. Yeah. I mean by Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, you know what? If a private company sits down and they can make it all work and do it, I'm fine with it. When they take my tax dollars and do it, I'm not happy with that at all.
Well, see, that makes no sense for a round trip ticket. I mean, you could fly. I mean, even if you wanted to fly to Las Vegas from LA, which I've done, it's a lot less than $400 round trip. You know, it just makes no sense.
For me, flying to Vegas. So I have had the option to fly to Vegas when I've had to go for a show. I love my car. For me to go to Vegas to see to go to a trade show, that's what I couldn't come up with it. To go to a trade show, I have to lose 2 to 3 days worth of work, where if I drive, I can work half a day, drive there, be there at the show for 3 days, and then drive home and not lose but the days I'm actually sitting in the at the trade show.
And you could also drive right up to your hotel and not have to worry about
any
grand.
From the hotel to the,
back to your job.
Exactly.
There it is.
And so it's hard as a driver to give up that. You know, we stayed in a hotel room the other day, and three kids and all of our gear, I about kicked my butt to trek everything into the hotel. I'm used to having the travel trailer, and yes, it's a trek to get it from the house to the travel trailer, but that's it. And, you know, not from the house to the car, from the car to the hotel room, to the hotel to the car, to the car to back to the house.
I want to ask you something.
Okay.
How are you doing on the alignment rack for the trucks?
We don't do very many.
You're not doing very many?
No, maybe one a month. Yeah, it's not. I don't know if the trucks are holding up better now, because they seem to be holding up a lot better. The designs are holding up better, or if they just, you know, we're not known for it anymore. We use the alignment rack, but not much for trucks.
Yeah, and you know, motorhomes.
Right.
Also. Yeah. You know, but on the motorhomes, of course, most of the motorhomes doesn't get very many miles on them. The trucks are different.
Right, but we've gone to heavier chassis on the motorhomes, too. It used to be there were, you know, one-ton trucks and one-ton vans, and then we overload the snot out of them and then put airbags on them and everything else. Now we've gone to ton and a half, 2 tons, and they don't put airbags because they don't need them anymore, because this chassis is designed for that weight now. That's what I recommend.
The thing is, I think it'd be, if you like to do that kind of work, talk about it on the radio once in a while.
Okay, right.
That because, you know, the reason you have this show is that because you want to tell people what you do.
And, okay. And that hasn't been a big focus.
That's one of the things you do.
So we have a request from Steve at Westside.
Okay.
To have, it says, nice to hear Per Matheson this morning. Maybe he can announce the Saturday 20% off sale at Westside.
I can announce what?
The 20% off sale today at Westside. This is from Steve.
Oh yeah.
Because our sponsor here forgets them. Maybe you could talk about what all the nice things they have at Westside.
Well, they have the things I need all the time.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think that I ever go in there without getting what I came in there for. I got a recall letter on the windshield on my car, and I had my windshield replaced a couple of years ago, or maybe 3 years ago,
National Auto Glass.
National Auto Glass, yeah. That's the best side of National Auto Glass. So I asked them to see if they could find the receipt for that, and then I might get the
reimbursed, really?
Yes, I mean, reimbursed.
Wow. Nice.
So, but so you know, they're nice. They feel they're really good. But you know, 20%? Heck yes. Why don't you go in and buy some oil? I mean, oil filter, things like you use on your car all the time.
Yeah.
You can get the best brake pads around. You can get the best rotors around. That's not much you can't get at Westside Auto Supply. Tie rod ends. Once you change that stuff, you need to have a 4-wheel alignment whenever you change the suspension components.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a 4-wheel alignment check whenever you put new tires on, just to make sure you're not going to damage those new tires.
Well, you know, my car, 25,000 miles, and I come in to go do some work on my car in your shop, and the front tires are worn out, and I couldn't quite understand it. And evidently, me, fat guy, sitting on the left-hand side of the car all the time, small car, changed the alignment. I mean, of course, I knew about that. I mean, the car settles down over the years.
You got 1 minute, Matt. 1 minute.
1 minute, yeah.
All right, so 20% off Westside Auto Supply today. I mentioned the Motor Mash Show and get 20% off with Steve until, I think, 1 o'clock? 12 o'clock. One of those,
I don't know what time he closes.
805-543-5943 is their number. I'm going to say, I'm going to run out of time.
No, we're down to 30 seconds.
Matt, thank you so much for coming in today. We're going to have you on the show more often. Okay. I love having you on the show.
Okay, I'll see if I can get up that early in the morning.
Okay, fair enough. Go out and have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the Central Coast. It's beautiful and green. Thanks so much for joining us.
And I'll be in to my old shop and have some wine tasting.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.